this morning is in the matter of Habash. Mr. Salem.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. My name is Maurice Salem. I represent the appellant creditor in this case, Mr. Zidane. Your Honor, in this case, the bankruptcy
Mr.
court...
Salem, before we get very far, I have a question about appellate jurisdiction. I don't understand why we have any. Am I correct that the debtor has never been discharged?
The debtor, I believe, has recently been discharged.
When you say recently, when?
Within the past 3 months, Your Honor.
And in other words, after you filed the notice of appeal?
After I filed the notice of appeal, yes, Your Honor.
Well, then I don't understand how there can be an appeal. What the bankruptcy judge said, to paraphrase it, is when the time comes to decide whether to discharge Habash, I will not listen to Zidane's protest. I don't see how that's a final decision. It's like denying somebody's motion for summary judgment, but leaving the issue open. It may take an issue out of the case, but it doesn't make a final judgment.
Your Honor, I have thought of that when I was looking at Section 727D1, and that says that you file an appeal after the discharge. However, what was done in that case was the creditor filed an adversary complaint and the debtor filed a motion to dismiss on the grounds that it was past the deadline date that the judge set for objections. And so if the creditor sits there with knowledge of fraud and waits till after the discharge to do that, that doesn't seem to be reasonable to me. So as soon as the creditor would, as soon as possible...
You're confusing the question whether the bankruptcy judge made a mistake with the question whether there was a final decision. Final decision means the case is over. Bankruptcy case ends with the discharge and the plan of reorganization. And as best I can see, all that happened was the bankruptcy judge said one potential reason for not granting a discharge is now being taken out of the case. Just like what happens when a district court enters partial summary judgment and takes a single issue out of the case, but the case remains pending. And that seems to be what happened.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree. I believe that the adversary complaint was discharged and it was dismissed and it was a final decision because...
It's not properly an adversary complaint, by the way. Whether somebody is discharged is an issue in the core proceeding. It was improper to lodge this as an adversary complaint. I think that's what has caused some confusion about finality. But it's not an adversary complaint.
Your Honor, as a matter of fact, this case is similar to the Emery case, Citibank versus Emery case, where Citibank discovered, the creditor discovered the fraud prior to the discharge and filed an adversary complaint. But I see your point. Like I said, I hesitate to wait. Once I took over this case from a prior counsel, and once I learned of the fraud, there was 3 dates that where I learned fraud, and then we filed an adversary complaint.
Was a notice of appeal filed from the actual discharge?
No, it wasn't, Your Honor. It wasn't. When the appeal was filed, Your Honor, the main issue in the district court was whether the fraud was learned prior to the deadline date or after the deadline date. That was the main issue in the district court. And Your Honors, here, the district court made a clearly erroneous...
By the way, your brief is shockingly out of compliance with the circuit rules. Our circuit rule says that in any bankruptcy proceeding, the appellant's brief must describe what is left in the bankruptcy court, what is pending, what is going on. Your jurisdictional statement reads in full, the Court of Appeals has jurisdiction under 28 U.S.C. 1291 in that the decision from which the appeal is sought is a final decision of the district court. It doesn't give any of the dates, doesn't tell us what remains in the bankruptcy court. I can't understand why the clerk's office accepted
your
brief.
First of all, I want to thank you because last time I was before you, you did mention some spit rules that I missed. This brief was filed before that time, and it won't happen again, but I appreciate you letting me know this. The last time I was before you, Your Honor, you did mention some discrepancies in my brief, but what I ask for is to consider what's in my appendix and what's here now. But what I want this court to understand that the district court mixed up the dates. The district court held that the adversary complaint mainly relied on fraud learned when the debtor gave depositions. And in on page 7, line 24 of the district court decision, the district court said the complaint specifically cites Habash, that's the debtor, deposition and testimony as exhibits. And in the district court's argument, she was implying that this was prior to the deadline. In fact, it wasn't. The deposition that the debtor gave was on September 19, 2005, and the district court cited that on page 3 of its decision. And so the district court made a genuine mistake of dates. The district court said this fraud was not learned after the discharge, and that's what she was implying. So I believe this court can reverse this decision on a clearly erroneous grounds because of the mix-up of the dates that the district court honestly did, and that's understandable. So the district court's argument that the prior counsel did not use due diligence would also fail because of the fact that she confused the deposition date and exhibits given by the debtor, thinking that that was prior to the deadline. Let me go back to the beginning. The deadline date was February 4th, 2005, file objections. This case was not typical. There was complications in it. And after that date, in September 19, 2005, they had the Bankruptcy Rule 2004 examination. So, and in that deposition and the exhibits, fraud was discovered. The adversary complaint uses that. And there is no way that the prior counsel could have discovered this prior to the deadline date, February 4th. And it's very clear that the district court...
I gather that the trustee made some of the same arguments. What happened when the bankruptcy judge finally granted the discharge? How did he deal with the trustee's arguments?
Your Honor, the bankruptcy judge did not render a decision. He just simply said that the...
Bankruptcy judge obviously rendered a decision.
Well, Your Honor...
Opinion?
I apologize. What I meant was it was a very brief response to granting a motion to dismiss, saying that the motion is granted because the...
Excuse me.
Yes.
When I asked earlier, you said that a discharge had been granted. Now you just said that a motion to dismiss was granted.
I apologize, Your Honor.
If the bankruptcy proceeding was dismissed, then there has been no discharge. So what did happen?
Your Honor, the motion to dismiss the adversary complaint, that was granted with one sentence. The discharge was granted, and I don't believe a decision was rendered, or maybe I did not.
A decision obviously was made. Do you mean the bankruptcy judge didn't write an opinion?
Yes, Your Honor.
I don't see how, if the discharge was contested, and I thought from the papers that the trustee was contesting the discharge, the bankruptcy judge could have failed to give an explanation.
That's correct.
And I'm surprised that you didn't appeal from that order.
Well, Your Honor, the discharge was given recently, and if you're saying that I can appeal now again, it would seem a waste of...
Now, there are only 10 days to appeal in bankruptcy cases.
Well, I understand. I meant after the discharge was recently given. But I believe, Your Honor, the appeal that was done was a final decision because it dismissed for good the adversary complaint. I see I'm going into my rebuttal time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Salem. Mr. Rose.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Could you please perhaps enlighten me on some of these issues?
I'm going to try, Your Honor. There's a lot of confusion here. We have a bankruptcy debtor, owned a small grocery store, filed his bankruptcy on August 4th.
I'm not worried about whether it's a grocery store. What has happened to the discharge?
To my knowledge, a discharge was not entered.
Has never been entered.
That is my understanding. I have not seen one. And
One would think that the debtor's own lawyer would know whether the debtor has been discharged.
None has ever been issued to us. I've looked on the docket.
The bankruptcy judge hasn't written an opinion concerning
that. That is correct, Your Honor, because the bankruptcy judge's opinion was granting my motion to dismiss the adversary complaint. And the adversary complaint was based only on Section 727A and 523 of the Bankruptcy Code. Section 727D, which allows a creditor or other interested party to seek revocation of a discharge following discharge within a year afterwards, that was never mentioned.
Look, you're not dealing with the questions I've asked. All right, you say there's never been a discharge.
That is correct.
It means the bankruptcy proceeding is ongoing in the bankruptcy court, right?
Well, in a sense, Your Honor, when this...
It's either over or it's not over.
My understanding is that the discharge tends to be issued automatically by the bankruptcy court system following all the proceedings having taken place. As a matter of fact, Judge Bucklow, in her decision, when she cited the Citibank versus Emery case for two propositions, one is that you have these types of situations where a discharge is not granted summarily after the 60 days pass or any extensions thereof for objecting to discharge or dischargeability. And in those situations, creditors and other interested parties have objected, like here, have come in and sought to,
yes,
they call it a revocation of discharge, but there is no discharge. And in that case, they allowed them to come in and basically say, well, if there's been fraud newly discovered, they can...
This is all very roundabout. You say there has been no discharge.
Correct.
I take it that the trustee has objected to a discharge.
No, trustee has never objected to a discharge. Trustee has no objections to discharge because all of the proceedings have taken place with respect to her administration. My client paid $35,000 to buy back his interest in the state's property, and there are no objections pending whatsoever from the trustee. The trustee had continued, as one should, to extend the deadline to object to discharge or dischargeability until after she had her attorneys conduct the 2004 examination and obtain much documentation concerning my client's business and his affairs, etc. Unfortunately, Mr. Zahn never did that. He had only extended to that date of February 4, 2005, and that was it. We didn't hear from Mr. Zahn for over a year.
Let's skip Mr. Zahn for the moment. I was trying to figure out what the trustee's position is. My other principal question concerns appellate jurisdiction. Why, in your view, is this an appealable order?
Well, I think the only thing that might be appealable is whether the bankruptcy court was correct in dismissing the adversary complaint for the failure to have filed it within the deadlines required under the rules for objecting to discharge or dischargeability.
Your brief doesn't discuss whether this order is final, nor does your adversary's. But normally, universally, if a court says, here's a particular issue in the case, I am removing it from the case, but the case goes on, that is not a final decision. It is not appealable. Interlocutory appeals are allowed from the bankruptcy judge to the district judge. So the appeal to the district judge might have been fine. But only final decisions may be appealed to this court. And I don't understand why removing one issue from a case that is ongoing is final.
Well,
Zidane's protest said you shouldn't discharge this debtor. Well, he hasn't been discharged. District bankruptcy judge has yet to decide whether to discharge him.
Well, that is correct, Your Honor. However, there was an adversary complaint.
It was completely improper to handle this by an adversary complaint. Whether somebody is discharged is a core proceeding. But in any event, you can't, by filing a perfectly normal motion in the core proceeding as an adversary complaint, get instant review by the Court of Appeals. That would make a joke of the final judgment rule.
Your Honor, I think what's not... The adversary complaint only objected to discharge under 523 and 727. It had nothing to do, really, with discharge. He brought... That came up in later briefing.
It makes it even less final.
Judge Black dismissed the adversary complaint with prejudice. It didn't seem illogical to me that the appellant should appeal.
I'll give the parties 10 days to file supplemental memoranda addressing the question whether rejecting a single potential objection to discharge is a final order immediately reviewable by the Court of Appeals, even though the bankruptcy judge has yet to decide whether the debtor will be discharged. I would also like both sides in this supplemental filing to inform the court exactly about the current status of the bankruptcy. Has a discharge been entered or has it not? If it has not been entered, what is the status of the bankruptcy and when can we expect it to be entered? Parties can have 10 days to file these memos. They should be filed simultaneously.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. Salem?
Your Honor, unless the court has any questions.
Thank you very much. The case is